What an encouraging song that is to hear. Thank you for choosing it for us today. You know, waiting is a hard thing to do. It's hard enough when you've put something that needs to be reheated into your microwave, and you've pressed that 30-second time, and then you have to step back, and you have to tap your toe for 30 seconds. And sometimes that's hard, isn't it? My walk with the Lord was challenged this week when I was in a rush to get home. And there's a whole bunch of other things going on with this, but there was this car sitting at one of the few traffic lights we have in the whole town. And their light was green, and they weren't moving. Now, just in case none of the rest of you have had this ever happen to you, I started imagining things. It was not all that long, but it seemed like a long time that that car wasn't moving. I was actually had a moment where I hoped they were incapacitated and needed medical care, because that could explain why they weren't going. But that wasn't it. Eventually they did go. I was impatient. Honestly, what I wanted to do was put the palm of my hand on the horn of the car and hold it there incessantly. Am I the only one that ever feels like doing these things? I hope not. But waiting is hard to do sometimes, even for short times. But there are other things that we have to wait on that take longer than that. Kids been waiting all year for school to get out so they could get to summer activities. The swimming pool is calling to so many of them. We wait all the time. Doctor's offices, checkout counter lines, you name it. It's part and parcel of our lives. And most of the time, we do it poorly. And as Christians, one of the things that we wait for is so amazing to think about. And that is the day that the word comes from heaven that today is the day to go get them. And Jesus appears in the sky and he comes to get his own. And those who have gone before us will assemble with him, and they'll come in a cloud, and those who are here will feel their feet leave the ground, and we'll all assemble together in the sky, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Absolutely, amen. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Friends, that's hard to wait for. I want it to happen right now. But I have to allow that the Lord has his plan and he has his time, and he will do it in his time and within his plan. But I'm reminded by Titus's letter that today the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, or are zealous for good works. We are called to wait, but we're called to wait well. And that includes doing the work that God has assigned for us to do. This is not just a one-time place in the Scriptures to speak of. It is a common theme. And one of the places where that common theme is presented is in the parable that we read earlier, this parable of the 10 virgins. Or if you wanted to, you could retitle it, A Lesson in Waiting Well. These 10 virgins, this parable, appears in an unfolding of an entire message throughout the book of Matthew. You remember, perhaps, what Jesus said when he began his public ministry, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the overall theme of the book of Matthew, is to present the king and his kingdom, and the anticipation that the king would assume his role as ruler. And Matthew lays it out in this marvelous fashion and this horrible, glorious story. That Jesus has come to be king, but the king needs to be killed so that you and I could be saved. There is a reason for remembering Memorial Day. It's because we have people who have served and bought for us, sometimes with their lives in battle, but always with their service in whatever cause the Lord called them to put their lives on the line for our freedom. That's nothing to take lightly. In the grand scheme of things, however, it is a lesson for us to learn of the sacrifice of Christ. Their example should point us to what Christ has done. And we should remember, along with their service and sacrifice, preeminently his service and sacrifice. And Jesus knows what's coming. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in this parable, as it occurs, there is an immediate context of the Olivet Discourse, where the disciples have asked Jesus, when will these things take place? And Jesus begins to explain. And I'm not going to read the entirety of Matthew 24, but I would read the third verse where he says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will all these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the age, end of the age? And he describes what he has to teach them, and he ends it in verse 44 and forward to the end of that section. Therefore, you must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Whom has his master set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. then he says about the wicked servant that he says to himself, the master is delayed. And he begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him. And at an hour he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, which again is a phrase that we have seen throughout this gospel. Because as much as the promise is for the believers of an everlasting joy, the promise is also for the unbelievers of an everlasting conscious punishment. It is into that context of the arrival of the kingdom of heaven and the immediate context of the Son of Man coming at an hour you do not expect. And then it is followed immediately by teaching on the judgment of Christ. And then from chapter 26 on, the passion of the Christ, what Jesus does to buy his people. So you see, it surrounds everything with this text about these 10 virgins who have started waiting for the groom to appear. Can I just say that if you talk to people for much, I will say this in a generic sense, everyone wants to meet Jesus. Everyone wants to meet Jesus. There's all sorts of silly things that people say, like meeting Jesus is just going to be a fun time for everyone. It'll be glorious for his followers. For those who are his believers, it will be glorious, but it seems like everyone wants to meet Jesus. I don't listen to them often, but I had to go and find this encounter because I'd heard it took place. And it was a dialogue going back and forth by those paragons of cackling, Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg. And the subject of spirituality came into play. And Whoopi Goldberg all of a sudden started talking about how eager she was for Jesus to come. And Joy Behar got right in the boat with her and started telling how eager she was for Jesus to come. They want to meet Jesus. I got to admit, I really don't know their standing with the Lord. But everything I do see from them, which is like this much, everything I do see from them would tell me they should be worried about that meeting. Because when he comes with his angels in his second coming, it will be not as a suffering servant. It will not be as one who is a gentle teacher. It will not be one who is willing to endure the insults of the world. It will be as one holding a sword of judgment in his hand. And all the people that have been saying, oh, we want to meet Jesus, will instead start saying to the mountains, fall on us and keep us from him. And that won't work because they can't command the mountains in that day. The Lord of the universe does. And there will not be a place on the planet where sin has reigned that he will not exact judgment. Everyone wants to meet Jesus now, but they will not want to meet him when it happens. But you and I, brothers and sisters, you and I who know him, you and I who have believed in him, have placed our trust and faith, we do want to meet Jesus. I want to see my Savior's face. Whether it be in a life that begins if I fall asleep in this life and enter into the next and wake up to see my Savior's face, what glory is that going to be? Or if he comes and he catches me up, what glory will that be to see the face of my Savior? And brothers and sisters in Christ, I tell you that day is coming. That day is coming. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for it? You see, in the parable, these 10 virgins took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish ones took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. The foolish were unprepared. The wise were ready. It was a custom in the wedding ceremonies of the day for the groom to go get the bride somewhere in the night. There was no set moment. It was just whenever things were ready, the groom would go with his attendants to go get the bride. And the bride had her attendants, usually 10, and they were expected, because it was at night, to carry a lantern. How little thought did the foolish one give that they could have the lantern without the oil? People do the silliest things sometimes. They make all sorts of plans, but they don't make any preparations. They just hope everything will come out right. And so many people in this world, they want to meet Jesus and they're hoping everything will come out right. I've had this conversation with way too many unbelievers in my life. And I ask them about their spiritual lives and what they expect to happen and whether they expect to go to heaven or not. And almost without exception, they tell me, yeah, I think I'll get into heaven. And then I'll ask them why, and they'll say, well, I've been a pretty good person. I think I got a 51% rating with God on the goodness scale, or something like that. And I have to disappoint them with the news that 51% on the goodness scale won't cut it. You need to be spotlessly perfect to be in the presence of God. You need to be ready for this. If you think that your good deeds are going to merit God's favor, think again. The best things we do are as filthy rags compared to the holiness of God. These foolish virgins thought somehow or other lamp would just light itself, that they would carry it and it would be magically glowing? Do you think for a moment that when you make that journey to meet Jesus, all of a sudden, if you have rejected him all of your life, all of a sudden you'll just magically be okay? Think again. Be ready to meet Jesus. What does that entail? Because I would be wrong to tell you to be ready without saying how. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This admission is of absolute necessity for you to agree, I'm a sinner. I have done things I shouldn't have done. I haven't done things I should have done. All that I am has fallen short of the glory of God. And the second admission is to understand that the wages of my sin is death. On a day like this, I especially kind of miss my dad, because it means that I can't talk to him anymore. I would love to have called him, especially after yesterday's victory over Oregon by the Nebraska baseball team. I would love to have picked up the phone and called my dad and talked to him about that game, because that was a really good game. And he would have been excited to talk to me about that game. But there's no phone line, because death has separated us. And in the spiritual realm, the death that is spoken of is the death that separates from Jesus Christ. Sin creates this chasm that cannot be spanned by you or I. We've earned it by our sin. We're all sinners. And the wages of sin is death, which means that if nothing changes, everyone dies that spiritual death. But there is good news, that God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The death that we had earned, he paid. And he did that not when we got good enough, but while we were still sinners. You can understand why, if you just had one verse that you had to go to explain the gospel, that would be a good one to use. God loves you so much that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is required? If you confess your sins and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what does it say? You will be saved. It is not complicated, but it is profoundly huge. Confess simply means to agree with. This is true. To believe is to have a mental assent that works its way into your heart so that your lives overflow with it. It is a life-changing proposition to embrace Christ. Are you ready? If you are, it would be okay today to smile. There are so many things that can get us sort of, again. The car's broken down again. The bills have to be paid again. That boss of mine or that employee of mine or whatever else it is, all of those things, that medical issue that I've got, those things that are just besetting to us have a way of, they just sap all of our joy. And so we need to remember that we're saved people. Go ahead and tell each other about being a saved person. You didn't do it, so you're bringing glory to Christ. And go ahead and wait with eager anticipation every moment of every day that this might be the day. This might be the hour. This might be the time when Jesus comes. Because we don't know the day or the hour, anybody who wants to set one too carefully is mistaken. Our call is not to try to figure out when. Our call is to be ready when. And this is the parable of the virgins. Will you be the foolish, unprepared set? Or will you be the wise, ready set? And then, are you responsible about it? You see, they could have gotten ready. But they didn't do what needed to be done. I don't know what they were thinking. In this story, there is no excuse for choosing to do what they had failed to do. Or there is great praise for having taken responsibility for having the oil in their lamps so that when the moment came, they were ready for it. People want to blame other people for their spiritual condition. People want to blame circumstances in society for their spiritual condition. So we blame our parents, maybe, or our kids, or our church, or our school, or our job, or our finances. The list is long of things that we try to blame, rather than owning that the responsibility rests here. Nobody can ever stand before Jesus and say, it's Joe's fault, or it's Helen's fault, or whomever else you want to try to blame for it. You cannot point a finger in another direction. You always have to point it here. And on that day when we meet Jesus, we'll realize it fully. And the unsaved will have no word to say when he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. are you responsible for your understanding of your own situation? I didn't do it to you. You didn't do it to me. We all chose. Will you choose wisely this day to believe in Christ? Or will you choose foolishly to reject Him? And in that challenge of preparation and responsibility comes a question: is this your opportunity? People sometimes sit in church seats for years and years and years and years until finally one day the Spirit of God breaks through into their soul and they ask Jesus to save them. Is this your opportunity? If it is, seize it. Because the Lord is giving you a great gift. If somewhere in your soul the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and saying, today is the day you should get saved, then get saved. I welcome the opportunity at the end of this service. I'll pray for you. And I'll give you an opportunity to make a prayer that could start a spiritual life with Christ. But if you've already had that opportunity and you've succeeded in seizing it, celebrate the miracle that God has done, because you were dead in your sins and your trespasses. You were a dead soul, and the Holy Spirit had to visit life upon you so that you could believe. If you're a believer today, I say this often, but it is true, you are a walking, talking miracle because of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you ought to kick your heels up and click them together. Well, not everybody should try to do that, but you know what I mean. You ought to get excited about being saved. And this is coming from a guy who's about as exciting as, well, but I am excited about being saved. What a thrill it is to be a Christian. How I would pray that you would seize your opportunity today, or that you would celebrate that that opportunity came to you another time. And then, depending on what you do with the opportunity, are you watching? Are you watching? You see, the foolish virgins had to run off and try to find emergency oil at midnight. I mean, what store is open with oil then? I don't know. Maybe they all were. I don't know how their culture worked. But in this world, it pretty much leaves you Walmart. But even if you had a place to go, when he comes, you won't have time to make a different decision. If you've seized your opportunity, then are you watching? Are you watching? While they were going to buy their oil, it says, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. And this is how the parable ends. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Oh, I love having conversations about the order of things in eschatology. And I have some convictions that rest there. But I know this, whatever convictions, whatever thoughts I have, I might be wrong. So I don't need to worry about whether it's today or 7 years or 3.5 years or so many months or when did it start and when is it going to... I don't need to think about that. What I need to do is keep my eye open and say it could be today. Whenever the Lord says, that's when it will happen. I need to be ready, and so do you today for that to happen. You need to be ready right now. Right now. If you are, then hallelujah. Hallelujah that the Lord has done this for you and that you have an excited watchfulness. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming. I don't know when, but Jesus is coming to get us. And oh, what a day that's going to be. But some of you might not be ready. Some of you might not have said yes to Him. Will you decide right now to trust Jesus for your salvation? I want to pray with you. And if you pray this prayer of salvation with me, please tell me or tell someone that you did so. Because it could be a glorious start in a glorious walk with Christ. If you have accepted Christ, let this prayer be an affirming thing that just reminds you. But will you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, you alone know the heart and soul of each person here. You alone know whether that person sitting in that pew is one of yours or not. I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would help them to begin following you today. I pray that you would help them simply say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I admit, I confess my sin. And you would be right, Lord, if you visited your wrathful judgment upon me to shut me out of your presence and to say you never knew me and to cast me away from your presence into that place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. You'd be right to do that. But I take such consolation that you loved me enough to send your Son to die for me. And that even right now, while I am a sinner, I'm loved. And that Jesus died on the cross for me. so that the punishment that should have fallen on me fell on him, and he took it for me. And in doing so, he bought my salvation. And I confess and believe that that is true. And ask as you hear my confession that you would now help me begin a life walking, waiting, and watching for you. Fix this day in my mind. And help everyone here remember the day or the circumstance that caused them to believe too. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, my friend. It's nice to see Jake here. That's great. And his wife is Chloe. I'd have messed that up. I thought I was going to say Chris, so I at least had the first consonant. Hey, good to see you today. Howdy. Good to see you. Nice to... Standing at the road.